Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
How y'all doing today? How y'all doing today? It's a great day in heaven, on earth, and in church. Man, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. I love you. Now turn to the other side and say, neighbor. I'm going to worship with you. Because we're going to worship in spirit and in truth, right? We serve a mighty God, a matchless God, the only God, right? All right. And He's unstoppable. Come on. Come on. All right, come on and sing Heaven Thunder. Say,
Heaven Thunder. And the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form.
Come on and sing Faith Commanded.
Faith Commanded. And the mountains move. And the mountains move.
Fear is losing.
Fear is losing ground to our hope in you.
Y'all know this part. Say,
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
Y'all sound amazing.
Say impossible.
Hey,
say unstoppable God. And impossible things.
All right. So now for real, turn to your neighbor and say, I serve an unstoppable God. Turn to the other side and say, I serve an unstoppable God. All right. So who serves an unstoppable God? Hallelujah. Come on and sing that. Say, Heaven Thunder.
Heaven Thunder, and the world was born.
Y'all sound amazing. Say, Faith. Yeah.
Faith commanded, and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you.
Say,
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns on.
Come on, let me hear you. Yeah.
Jesus, our.
Come on, make it louder. Say.
Nothing shall be impossible.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore.
Jesus, our God.
Come on and sing.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Come on and sing that again. Say, unstoppable God. Yeah. Impossible things in your name, they. Come on and sing this. Say, nothing shall be impossible. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God. Come on and say that. Nothing shall be impossible. Your. Come on, come on. And we'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our. Come on, one more time, say. Nothing shall be impossible. And your kingdom reigns. Hey, we'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Come on, come on, come on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Come on, just one more time. Say, unstoppable God. Unstoppable God, let your glory go. Yeah, say impossible things. Impossible things in. Come on, one more time. Just worship our King.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
Hallelujah. Impossible.
Impossible things in your name, it shall be done.
Hallelujah. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Oh!
overcomer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I love the fact to know that we have not been overcome. We are overcomers.
Yeah.
Turn to somebody and say, you can't lose.
You can't lose.
Come on, tell somebody else, you cannot lose.
You cannot lose.
You need to get that in your spirit. Amen. You know, something happens to us and it feels like a sucker punch, and all of a sudden it's like, ugh. You know, like the Bills last week. I mean, like the Patriots last week. sorry, I hear you. All I know is this, is that as believers, you cannot be overcome.
Yes.
You cannot lose. It doesn't matter what the enemy wields against you. It doesn't matter what trouble comes down your way. You have already overcome. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I said, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can you go find five people and say, I am more than an overcomer. Come on, go find five people you don't know and say, I'm more than an overcomer.
Everybody, grab a seat, grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready because we've got information coming up that you do not want to miss. family, we want to see you at a group, and y'all got to get as psyched as she is, because there's food, there's family, and there's fellowship. Isn't that right, Abby?
That's right. Oh. We want to see you at your local campus's information center. We'll see you there.
Hey, family. We know you're so excited about what Jesus is doing in your life, and we want to give you an opportunity to continue to grow. That's why we have available Next Steps classes 1, 2, and 3. We would love to see you at any of the campuses, and you can find this information at histabernacle.com or right at your campus's info center. But this is important, because what we know in Jesus is what we can do in Jesus. We want to see you go to that next level this year. Go ahead and join today so you can start on your next level.
Hey, are you new to His Tabernacle? Listen, we have a class just for you. It's called Growth Track. We want to help you connect with the family here at His Tabernacle, help you grow up and discover what God can do through you.
There we go. Okay, there we go. How is everybody this morning? It looks like a pretty full house. I'm so excited that you're all here this morning. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are a visitor and this is your first time and you have not already received your little gift bag, if you don't mind raising your hand, we want to bring you a gift. If you're new in the house, go ahead and raise your hand up. We got a couple right up front here. Yeah, go ahead. Wave them high so they can see you. They're coming to you. Welcome. We're so excited for you to be with us this morning. Afterwards, if you want to make your way over this hallway, we have a guest reception. We just want to get to know you more and share a little bit about who we are. We have some exciting announcements for you. We have Awaken tonight. Everybody say tonight is Awaken. So if you're between the ages 18 to 35, I think it should be based on how you feel in your heart. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, Awaken is tonight here. It's going to be a blast. You don't want to miss it. So make sure if you fall in that age bracket, you need to get here tonight. Also, we have Harvest Fest coming up, Trunk or Treat. It is always so much fun for the kids, but there are so many ways and opportunities for you to participate with that. You can contact Pastor Aaron for that, as well as candy donations. Kids love lots of candy. I know some adults who also love lots of candy. So you should buy some bags of candy and donate. Amen? And we have Pastor Rhonda with offering.
Awesome. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, one of my favorite times in the house of God, because listen, money makes your life go around. You spend all your week earning money, paying bills, spending money, and God wants His children to be prosperous. He has so many principles in His word for your success in finances. And too many people in the house of God, their finances are broken and struggling, and God wants to set you free and make you prosperous. So nothing better than hearing a testimony of financial blessing and prosperity from the Lord. So Nicole had shared this one, and I was so excited for her to be able to share, and her husband, the blessings that God has brought on their lives. I know, Craig's not speaking. Uh-oh, we could trick him and just hand him the mic.
So, some of you might know that I'm a professional writer, and it was a job that kind of just got dropped into my lap. Before I got that job, we had hit rock bottom financially, and we met with Pastor. We didn't have food. We didn't know how we were going to pay anything, and God just brought this job into our lives, and it's been an incredible blessing. I'm going to try to do this without crying. So my business grew over the years, and it got to the point where I had been working with this one agency and their one client for about 5 years. My income just kept increasing. I was able to retire my husband from truck driving, so now he drives a school bus. But my work always slowed down during the summertime, and this summer it slowed down, but then it stopped completely for 30 days. And the reason was because this client had cut their budget. But once the 30 days was over, I found out that they actually lost their client. And that meant that the bulk of my income was going away. So I had to rely on what I knew was true, not just the facts, because those were the facts, and I didn't like those. So the first thing I did was I had to remind God that we are tithers. Because in Malachi, it says to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and we will be blessed abundantly. So I reminded God that this was his problem, it wasn't my problem, and that I wasn't going to try to fix it on my own. And then I had to remind Satan that this was God's problem and not my problem, and that he needed to get his hands off my family in the name of Jesus. So then the next thing I had to do was I knew I had to sow a seed. In 2 Corinthians it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. But I didn't have any money. When this news came, we were waiting for another order and another paycheck, and we were broke. So a $10.75 payment came in that I had forgotten about, and I took all of that and I gave it to God. And I prayed and I said, God, this is a seed, and I'm expecting a harvest in my work. And then I got on Facebook, and in Revelation it says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So I got on Facebook and I gave a testimony, and I covered everything. I talked about financial blessings in the past, health, my blessings in my family, like I didn't leave anything out. And I had a friend who I told this to. I said, I'm going to show you that when you do these things and when you're obedient, God will bless you. And she was like, okay, whatever. But I used the word to go after what I wanted, and God just gave me an incredible peace during that time. So then God started to move, and the first thing he did was to give my bus driver husband a way to make money during the summer. And then he increased the amount of work that I had in September. That client, that was their last month with this agency, and they gave me all the work they had. They didn't give it to anybody else. And then I got a phone call from someone who'd also worked with this client, and they wanted to do a proposal for them and have me be one of their only two writers. So all I had to do then was I waited. So I waited, and I waited for an update. And in the midst of my waiting, I got hit by another burden, and it was so much, it was so bad, it just, I shut myself in my bedroom and I cried out to God, and every ounce of me wanted to throw in the towel, and I wanted to say, well, I guess that didn't work, now what am I going to do? But God stopped me, and I heard him say, don't you dare quit. Don't you dare speak a word of doubt. Don't even think about it, because you're almost there. You're right on the brink, and if you open your mouth, you're going to lose your blessing and your breakthrough. So I spent 10 minutes watching a sermon clip, and God gave me direction on that big burden thing that happened. And then he just lifted that off of me, and I worshiped, and I cried, and I prayed, and I went to work. And then I got a call from a guy in Utah who's redoing his entire website and wants me to write all of it. Same day this happened. And then I found out that proposal that I was waiting to hear about was accepted. And same day. And that night I got my first new order from my now new client. But that moment is critical, and I can't stress that enough, because when you're in those situations, you are going to have that moment where you've held on and you've waited, and it doesn't seem like God is moving, and that moment is so important, because if you open your mouth, you will lose your blessing. So God is so good. He's so faithful, and I just want to say, don't give in, because on the other side of that decision to stay in faith, that's where your breakthrough is.
awesome, the power of God in that moment that you want to give up and throw in the towel. Don't you dare give up. Amen. Your blessing and your breakthrough is ready. If you're ready to give this morning, let's stand to our feet. We make a supernatural declaration in this house. It's simply from the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and it's about the blessings of God. And if you'll repeat it after me, we're going to prophesy. We're going to declare over our finances. Maybe you're in that giving up, quit moment. We're going to declare no doubt. We're going to declare the word of the Lord and prophesy over our finances and watch God be the God of breakthrough. Even today, the same day. So repeat it after me. If I obey, blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can give on the click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you formed. Faith commanded and the mountains moved. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for a tremendous word from the Lord for your life? Me too. I love a good word. We've been having a great year. This is the year of next level. Turn to somebody and say, next level. Tell somebody else, you can't stay where you're at. Next level. Amen. And we have just, we do what's called one voice in our church. And I write the sermons, and then we send them out to our campuses. So the same message is being preached here in Horseheads, Mansfield, Ithaca, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Mexico. And so every once in a while, we give them what we call a bye week. That means you can preach whatever you want. So this week, all the campuses are preaching whatever God just lays on their heart. And I have a word just for you. I'm just excited that right here, God's got a message that will encourage you and strengthen you and build you. And we're going to do something we don't do a lot, but this is why where we are time-wise. We're going to lay hands on everybody this morning and just release a blessing of God in your life as we are here. We have a lot of folks that are gone. This is a long weekend. They're out in vacationing. We're just praying God's blessing on them, safety for them. But this morning I want to speak to you about the power of generational impartation. You see, today you and I are not just church folk. Turn to us and say, you aren't just a church folk. If you're born again, shout amen. Amen. If you're born again, that means you're a child of God, which means the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. You see, you are not just somebody meandering on this planet hoping that Jesus rescues you someday and pulls you out of the earth by the trumpet of God sounding. I thank God for the rapture of the church. I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. In fact, there's a crown for those who are looking towards the rapture of the church. I'm excited about that. But how many of you know Jesus hasn't come yet? Which means we got something to do. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Tell somebody else, don't be a slug. You got to, come on, you got to draw that out. It's very important. Draw that out. Slug. Oh, I do want to give a shout out this morning. We have the longest visitor this morning is all the way from England. We want to welcome the Tuckers all the way from England this morning. We also have somebody from Florida. Where are you? Floridian this morning. There she is over here. Floridian visiting with us this morning. Anybody else from another state visiting us this morning besides Pennsylvania? That doesn't count. Amen. So we just want to welcome all those that are online all over the world, actually, that are watching all over. But today I want to talk to you about this generational impartation. You see, the Lord has placed his tabernacle where we're at, not just to be a regional church. And what I mean by regional church, and we're already seeing it as this year, God has really expanded the vision. You see, it's been the vision of his tabernacle family church to reach this entire Northeast. And just in 1 year, actually about a year and a half, God has added campuses, two campuses that are local, as well as in Canada, New Brunswick, Canada, histabernacle.ca. If you want to look that up, that's your family right now in New Brunswick, as well as a church down in Kentucky, a church in West Virginia, and then the churches that we have down in Mexico and that one in Puerto Rico. And so God has, he's done so much. He's expanded us without us even going after it. We haven't really gone after anything. We've just watched God do his thing because this is not my vision. This is God's vision. Can I hear an amen? But we're not just a regional church. We are a generational church. Let me explain that one more time. We are not a regional church only, but we are a generational church. Now, why is that important? Because there are so many churches that fizzle out and die. But God has raised this church up, and God is doing mighty things in this house. We see miracles and signs and wonders all the time. People being saved all the time. People's lives transformed all the time. It is exciting to be part of the move of God. But if the move of God stops when this generation is done, then the move of God truly wasn't. It was just a man's vision and a man's place. But I want you to know that God has passion here, that God has vision here at his tabernacle. And we're not fizzling out and dying, baby, but we're going to keep going. And we're not going to just go, but we're going to be that raging forest fire for Jesus Christ. And we're going to transform this region because we are a generational church. Shout it out loud. We are a generational church. We are not just a now church. We are a generational church. And I'm so blessed in this house. You know, it's exciting is looking around and looking through the congregation and seeing the different ages that are in the house. And you know, it's important to recognize that health is seen when you have the full gambit of life within the home. Right now, on the other side of this, every single Sunday morning, about 140 to 160 children are being ministered to that are under the age of 12. That's a lot of children, isn't it? That's larger than many people's churches. Right there on the other side, I give God glory for that. We bus in every single week about 120 to 150 children between Wednesday and Thursday night to invest in them, love on them, build them. But in the house also, I love the fact that we have mature people. That was good, wasn't it? Mature people. Do we have, you know, not everybody's going to want, do we have anybody in their 90s in the house? What? Ma! Pastor Beverly Wales, you're not in your 90s, are you? No, you're in your 80s. Or 70s, or 20s. Do we have anybody in their 80s in the house? Uncle Harold right here. Amen. Do we have anybody in the 70s in the house? Come on, 70s. Anybody in the 60s in the house? Yeah, you're all still excited because you can't say 70 yet. Amen. Anybody in the 50s in the house? Anybody in the 40s in the house? Jay, you're 40? Jesus, help us all. Anybody in the 30s in the house? Anybody in the 20s in the house? We're going to have an altar call. I see people not in their 20s raising their hands. I'm talking like, Sophia, how old are you? You're 4 years old. Anybody 4 years old in the house? It's amazing that God has blessed us. We are a generational church. We're not just one little segment, but we are the whole. And what is exciting is seeing all the way in the 90s with Ma, and down one row is a young girl, 4 years old, who's at 7:15 prayer meeting every Sunday morning. She doesn't have a choice. Her mama brings her, but she doesn't have a choice. It's exciting to know that we are a regional church, but we are a generational church. And I want to challenge you. I'm believing God to build the strongest generational church in this entire Northeast. How many of you believe God with me? What that means to me is not just that your generations are saved, but they're doing the will and the work of God. I'm believing that God is going to raise up your children, that God is going to raise up your grandchildren, that God is going to raise up your great-grandchildren to do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. Now I'm believing, God, that people are going to start getting raised from the dead again. And it's time to raise the kids to believe that God still raised from the dead. You see, we are a regional church, but we are a generational church. Turn to someone and say, we are a generational church. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says this, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God that you received through the laying on of my hands. You see, the power of being a generational church is whether consciously or unconsciously, the generations are still marching on. And the problem is we now are having a massive gap. And the massive gap is we have a bunch of millennials and Z generation that no longer go to church at all. We have a whole group of young people that have never been in the house of God. In fact, we have a whole group of young people whose parents go to church that don't go to church. We're in a position where, honestly, we've got to think generationally because God is a generational thinker. God says in the book of Exodus chapter 20, he said the sins of the father will go to the third and the fourth generation. What does that mean? God thinks generationally. We also know that according to the word of God, which is good news, found in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. God is a generational God. He thinks generationally. He is not confined to our little mindset and mentality of 50, 75, 100 years old. Thank God for those who reach 100. My grandma, I believe, reached 101 years old. She got a letter from the president at 100 years old. And I thank God my grandma lived. She danced before the Lord. She was an old Church of God woman. And man, the Lord touched her, used her. Man, I remember she got hit by a car in her 90s, right? In the 80s. She got hit by a car in the 80s, and she said, I will dance before the Lord before I die. And I want you to know God will use you. Listen, I thank God for Grandma Stewart. But the fact is now she's on to be with the Lord. And my mother was the next generation. And then my mother, after my mother, is my generation. And then my children on the front row are the next generation. And then Sophia over near Grandma Ayo is the next generation. God is a generational God. And God wants to pour out his blessings, not just on you, but on your generations. I declare it every single morning. Lord, I decree over my family to the fifth generation. Not one will be lost, but not just lost. I declare they will fulfill your purposes and your will to the day that they die. I declare in the name of Jesus, there is no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth, and no spirits of infirmity to the fifth generation on my family. And I decree in the name of Jesus that we will prosper in all things and be in good health. I declare that money will chase us down. Lord, I declare that we're going to have so much that, Lord, the world is going to have to make up stories because we're so blessed in our bodies, so blessed in every aspect of our lives. And I decree it to the fifth generation. You see, I refuse to allow my mindset to be stymied, to be cornered into just me living. But you've got to look beyond, and you've got to see beyond, because God is a beyond God. He's not just a now God. He is a generational God. And God is thinking about your generations, not just you, not just your children, but to the fifth generation and beyond. We must be intentional to raise the next generation. There is a diabolical plot that is so sneaky and so sly as we're watching parents that once were passionate about God, that now they just let God take the back seat. And we wonder why our children are no longer serving the Lord. Ooh, got kind of quiet. See, this is something that we have to do. Some of you didn't get saved until after your children were raised. And that's okay because you've got the power of prayer. And I believe that God will not only save you, but save your whole household. And I declare in the name of Jesus that the devil cannot have your husbands. The devil cannot have your wives. The devil cannot have your children. The devil cannot have your grandchildren. The devil cannot have your great-grandchildren. We bind that spirit who blinds the mind of the unbeliever and declare he whom the Son has set free, that you are the first generation of the salvation that will become generational for your family. You see, we've got to make a decision that we are not going to be short-sighted. It's not about us. Every decision we make is about the next generation. Everything we do is about raising up the next group of young men, young women that are going to do the will and the work of God. You know, I'm so proud on the week of fasting and prayer, watching our young men and our young women coming out of youth ministry. They're leading the prayer around the front of the altar. They're not just, well, you know, Lord, I'm hoping everything works out. But they're men and women of God that are praying. I sent a picture of Cole praying to his parents, and they said, is he all right? Because he's fired right up in the front of the altar, praying and seeking. Now we've got over here, come on, the Vishers. Their daughter's not only just finished Bible school, she got married, and now she's working in church. The next generation. Man, I want you to realize, you would never realize what God wants to do until you get your eyes off yourself and you start moving in the direction of generational understanding. When you do that, your decisions change. It's not about survival. It's about you and I plotting intentionally to make sure that our children and our grandchildren are going to do everything for God that he has called them to do. This is called impartation. This is called conferring. This is the plan of God. Many times I was talking to Brother Ted one day, and Brother Ted said to me, he said, young man, one of your problems is you don't know who you are. You don't really understand really what God has in you yet. And I'm sitting back and I've always had the mentality of saying, well, I don't want to think of myself more highly than I ought. But sometimes we don't think of ourselves even where we should be. And the problem with that is we actually diminish our position of faith. We diminish our position of authority when we don't recognize what God has given us and where God has placed us. We must understand that God hasn't placed you here for that survival process, but he's placed you here to move in dominion and power and authority. Turn to someone and say, I'm a person of dominion. I'm a person of authority.
I'm a person of power. That's right, and not natural power, but supernatural power. That dunamis power that Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. And that day in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Oh, that's right. We're a church that believes in speaking in other tongues. We're a church that still believes in the prophetic. We're a church that still believes in the divine healing. We're a church that still believes in the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. We are a generational church that is raising up the next army of God that will go against the devil, not with natural power, but with the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. And all of this is rack and pinion on impartation and conferring. What is conferring? It's the release of one greater to one lesser in the gifts. Blessing that the greater can possess. You see, it is giving something that somebody else doesn't have, so they will be empowered to go to their next level. The church has gotten away from this reality, this supernatural principle. It is not a natural principle, it is a supernatural principle. It is a principle established all the way back in the book of Genesis, where every single time the man of God was getting ready to go on with the Lord, he would lay his hands on his children and release a supernatural impartation that they may receive the blessings of God. They will receive the calling of God. They'll step into who they are supposed to be through the conferring of the supernatural power from the Father to the sons. You see, when we get away from these principles, then what ends up happening is we start being good religious folk, but we become powerless folk in religion. The Bible talks that in the last days that we're going to see more churches like this, even big churches. Listen, it doesn't matter how many people you have. If you've extracted or changed, come on now, if you've exchanged and traded the architectural design of God to meet today's relativity, I want you to realize that you can have what we call a church, but have no power. And the Bible declares in the book of Timothy that they have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Do not even associate with those people. Well, that wasn't me saying that. It's what God said. You see, we've got so many believers that are now just Christianettes. Man, we just want to go to heaven. And I thank God for heaven, but you ain't there yet. And you're not there yet because God's got purpose and destiny for your life. And the only way that you and I can step in person and destiny is that you and I fulfill God's will, not through me. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So impartation is something we've got to get back to. And what happens through impartation is it comes through two different households. One, the household of faith that you belong to. Whether you like it or not, the church you belong to, literally, is either going to empower you to reach your destiny or will debilitate you reaching your goals. The fact is the church you go to will either bring you to a place of believing it's always God's will to heal or just when God feels good enough. The church you go to will preach and teach either that God wants you prosperous or it's God's will that you be poor and just suffer the rest of your life. The church you go to determines whether or not you're going to be soul winners or just somebody that sits down in a pew and you got your impartation into the seat and not in other people. The church you go to has everything to do with whether or not you're going to fulfill God's purpose. Because how will they know unless a messenger is sent? Blessed are the feet of those who preach good news. The message that is preached behind the pulpit is either going to move you into a greater acceleration towards your destiny or a deceleration or just simply stagnation. So the church you belong to has everything. If you are not seeing the power of God in your church, if you're not moving into worship in your church, if you're just going there for an hour and doing your religious thing, I want you to realize it's going to debilitate your capabilities of being an imparter to the next generation. And I believe this is one of the wisest moves the enemy is making upon the church today. That we're having a lot of church, but no power. And I want you to realize that in these last days, we need more power than we've ever had before. We need to be able to step in the anointing like we've never stepped into the anointing before. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. Come on now, can I hear an amen? We need to be faithful like we've never been faithful before. We need to teach our children ministry like we've never taught our ministry before.
What's happened is the enemy is getting in, and he's slowly just degrading the anointing to where now it's no impartation. It's just, did you go to church today? I thank God you're in church today. But the fact is that the devil goes to church too. The factor is not just you and I going to church, but you and I getting that impartation so that we can make a difference in the world that we belong to. If we're not going to make a difference, then why are we here? God didn't call us just to suck air. He said, I've called you. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God has called us to make a difference on this planet because we are not just a regional church. We are a generational church. The next type of place is home, your home. People say to us all the time, you know, one of the guest speakers, especially when they come into the house, they say, Pastor, one of the things that we love so much about your church is seeing that your entire family is not only just serving God, but your entire family is in ministry in some capacity. Pastor, that is, and I've heard these mega speakers say to me, you don't know how rare that is. But you see, you only get rare if you do things by accident. I don't believe in doing things by accident. And my children didn't always serve the Lord. They went wayward for a while. But the Bible says what you put in is going to come out. Can I hear an amen? If you plant a seed, you're going to have a harvest. They didn't have a choice. I was praying for them. The mama's praying for them. We're binding the devil. We're releasing the power of God. And God's power breaks and destroys every yoke of bondage. This is not religion. This is a supernatural church. This is the supernatural power of God. And we've got to get back to believing that the power of dominion, the power of authority, the power of God is waiting to be released through your life. See, when we understand this, our homes change. Our homes change. Because it's just not mom and dad. It's men and women of God. If your children cannot, come on now, if your children cannot honor you, how will they ever honor God? If their children don't look at you as a man and woman of God, why would they ever look at God as God? We are those people that God is calling as parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents. And listen now, some of you might say, I have not had any natural children. Then you are a spiritual parent. There's always somebody to invest in. Can I hear an amen? But as parents, God is calling us to live a life that the children will be able to look at, come on now, generationally be able to look at us and say, I know their God. I want their God. I want to serve their God. I want to go to church. Listen now, like I said, my kids didn't always serve the Lord. Like I said last week, my son Chad used to squelch down in the chair and play his phone or just simply go to sleep. But I want you to realize that they saw. There was one thing. I remember walking up to his room one day, and I looked at him, and as he was sitting there, I said, I don't get it. Why do you want to go hang around your friends that are all drinking, and their fathers are the one providing all the booze for them? You want to go out partying with those guys? But I said, look at the parents. Their parents are all divorced. Their parents are all alcoholics. Their parents are struggling in their life. I said, won't you want to be like your mom and dad who have the power of God dwelling inside, that are still married, that still love each other, that are still investing in you, that still care about you, that are seeing success in everything they touch? Don't you want to be like your mother and father? Come on now. This is the testimony that's got to come from our homes. I'm not saying everything is perfect. I'm not saying you're always right. I'm not saying you're always good. But what I'm saying is there must be a consistency for impartation. And there must be a consistency to confer. And whether we realize it or not, we are conferring at all times. When I drove school bus, the greatest cussers were the kindergartners. I'm talking they could cuss up a storm. That was blue in that bus. You thought the bus was yellow, eh? It was not yellow. It was blue. These kids were, I mean, they're using the F-bombs, GD bombs, dropping the name of Jesus and not in the prayer. And the reason is, whether they realized or not, they were conferred. Who their parents were, they are. Come on, you've seen those kids that are worrywarts?
Look at mom and dad. You'll find this conferring is constantly happening. Our children are who we are. Our children will focus on what we focus. They'll have the passions that we have passion for. They'll be faithful to what we're faithful to. They will sin the way you sin. They will rebel the way you rebel. They will be you. Not too far. Did the apple? Some of you made decisions, I'm not going to be that apple. And you've literally allowed God to change generations because of you. You've declared that you will not be the one that was what your parents were, but that you will be a man and a woman of God in your own home. You will focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have passion on the kingdom of God. You will not sin, and you will show your children when you do that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that you can walk holy, you can walk righteous, that you love God's house, and you can't wait to do God's ministry. Some of you grew up in that home and you've deviated from that home and you're raising your children separate from the way you were raised. And generationally, you're actually damning the next generation and then their generation, for there is always a slow deterioration. Listen, this is not just in the kingdom. This is in finances, in money. The average millionaire in America is first generation immigrants. But by the fifth generation of immigrants, they're poor again. Well, how is that? Because the passion and the drive to work to make things happen slowly waned as we gave way to things that should never have. We compromised in areas that should never be compromised. But you see, when you're a generational person, you recognize that compromise is not going to just attack your children. It's going to go to your grandchildren and to your great-grandchildren and to your great-great-grandchildren. And you've got to make a decision in your spirit that no matter what is coming in front of me, no matter what this world has to say about me, no matter what people think about me, I refuse to compromise the word of God and the principles that I know my parents invested in me that brought me to who I am and where I am right now. That was a weak amen. I bring parents in and we do premarital counseling and counseling. One of the questions I ask is, who do you fight like, your mother or father? And they've never thought about it, but they always pull a name out. Well, why is that? Well, because whether you realize it or not, even how you fight is generational. And I look at these parents and I say, do you want your kids to fight like you fight? Do you want them to have a marriage like you have? And they always say, no. I said, then you got to change what you do. See, we have choices in life because when we're generationally thinking, we're not stockpiled into our now. We're always looking at what we do to affect generations that are in front of us. Even in this church, everything we do is not about you and I at this very moment. It's about where God is taking us for the future. It's about what God's going to do for us and the next generation and the next generation. Those kids that are in there will be leading the church in 20 years. Everything I do is about those kids. Those young people that we bus in every single week. Why do we spend so much money on these children? Why do we spend so much money busing these kids in, $600 to $750 a week, just to rent the buses? Never mind all the money that we bring in for the food. Never mind all the volunteers who sacrifice their life to be there to invest and to sow and to impart. Why? Because I'm declaring that the devil cannot have that generation. He cannot take those children. Why is Pastor Cody in the schools? Why are we there? Because I refuse to sit back and allow the generations to continue to be destroyed by the devil. And the only way that happens is through the impartation and the conferring of the supernatural to this generation to turn them around, to turn them back to God. And it's time to take the generations back. Can I hear an amen? Moms and dads, if church isn't important to you, church will not be important to your kids. I'm telling you now. I said it last week. My kids didn't have a choice. I've heard some people say to me, well, if I make my kids go, then they're going to hate church. Tough. I don't give you hate church. Well, I don't want to turn them off. What are you going to turn them off to? What are you turning them on to? Because if they're laying in the house, they're either sleeping, duh, wasting their breath, watching MTV. What's MTV? What's the new one? YouTube. Isn't that weird? YouTube is like the thing now. Watching porn. Average kid's first time watching porn now is 9 years old. Come on, what are you going to turn them off to? Well, you know, we're just busy people. You're so busy, you're teaching your child that God's kingdom is not that important. So what you're going to confer to them is that God's kingdom is not as important as whatever else you can find to do in the world. And we can't understand why our kids don't want to come to church. It's rare that Sophia and Julian, is this church day? They want to know when church is. They want to come to the house of God. Why? Because this is all they know. It's not accidental. We are training them to love God. We are training them to love the church. We are training them to love ministry. We are training them to pray. Come on now, it's 7:15 a.m. Man, Sophia, she's getting heavy. But, you know, carrying her across while we pray. Why do I do that? I did the same thing with my children when we had the prayer meetings up in Newfield, New York. I put them on both hips. Come on now, Cody and Chad. And I would pray for an hour. I would pray in tongues. Come on now. I heard them. They heard me praying in the spirit. They heard me praying in tongues. They'd hear me prophesy. And why? Because I want that inside of them. And at 4 years old, they came to me, and Cody said, I want that speaking in tongues things, Dad. And I laid hands on him at 4 years old, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And Chad did the same thing. Why? He said, can you push me over too? I said, no. But all they know is what they see. If they're watching you drink, what do you think? The kids are not going to drink? Come on now. If you're getting drunk, you think your kids aren't going to get drunk? Well, I want better things for them. Well, that's stupid. You can't expect anything better for them if you're not going to give it to them. You give them monetarily, but you don't give them spiritually. You give them tangible things that will disappear. But what will last forever? That impartation of the Holy Ghost. That supernatural conference of favor and blessing. You keep that because you don't want to give them, because you don't want to submit to God. Oh, Jesus, come on now. The Lord is raising this church up to be generational. But the only way for your children to be part of the generation that's going to turn the next one around is that you are a generational thinker, that you are a generational man and woman of God. You are somebody that is going to say, I don't care what it costs. I don't care what I got to do. I got to get my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I've got to get rid of some friends. I've got to get rid of some activities. I've got to make sure that my kids know that God's house is important, that God's kingdom is important, that I got to teach my kids how to pray. I got to show them that I read the word. I got to show them that I believe in miracles and signs and wonders. I believe. Listen now, if you don't believe, they won't receive. This is the power of conference. We determine the next generation's spiritual walk. See, if your kids don't believe in speaking in tongues, when they run this church, what are they going to do? Your kids never hear you speaking in tongues. You think they will? It was normal language in our house, because it is normal language. It's spirit language. His spirit speaking through you. Every morning on the way to the bus stop, every morning, I would say, okay, let's pray in tongues. I don't care what you. My wife's old statement was, I own the breath you breathe. I brought you in, I can take you out. On the way to the bus stop, we'd be praying in tongues. Every once in a while, especially when they got older, they didn't want to. I don't care. You'll pray in tongues, I'll beat you. We've got to make decisions whether we're generational families or we're just surviving. Are we in this for ourselves? Are we in this for our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren? I'm decreeing to the fifth generation, which means I've got to set not only me, I've got to make sure my kids and my in-laws, come on now, Mindy-in-law and Jade-in-law and Antonio-in-law, that they love God too, that they watch my wife and I and we serve God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our being. We love our neighbor as ourselves. If they don't see that, then they're not going to follow the Lord. Then they're going to have a deterring message to the children. Well, Pastor, I came to feel good today. You will. Every one of the patriarchs released this conferring of the Spirit, released this impartation through the laying on of hands. We've made the laying on of hands something spooky, and man, if you've not gone through rock solid faith, I'm not sure why, but we have it 3 times a week right in this building. Well, I've already taken it once. Lynn, you need to take it again. I've already taken it 4 times. I've been teaching it for 25 years. I still take it. I have a doctorate in theology. I don't got a little crispy paper that I pulled out of a box. I earned that. And I earned that because I wanted to know who God is and I wanted to know him more. And I'm still learning. Can I hear an amen? And if the preacher is still learning, then you got some room yourself. Say amen or oh my. But this conferring is so powerful. I laid hands on my children all the time. I lay hands on Sophia all the time. I lay hands on Julian all the time. I'll lay hands on Hunter all the time. I'm going to lay hands on my grandchildren and release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Release the power of God. Release the impartation of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Man, because watch now. What did Paul say to Timothy? I first saw this faith in your grandmother and then in your mother, and now I see it in you. And he said, listen. Stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. Man, you need to be laying hands on your kids all the time. You lay hands on them. I'm not talking whooping them. Snatch. I can pull. Talking, lay your hands on them and release the power of God in their life. Because you're releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're releasing the supernatural power of God. You're releasing the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. You're releasing the impartation of the gifts of the Spirit. You're releasing the impartation of the call of God on their life. Man, I'm telling you now, you got to lay hands on them. You got to lay hands on them. You got to speak over them. You got to prophesy over your children. You got to declare the word of God over them. You've got to do this or your generation will be lost. Oh, please. I'm not just saying that. I mean that. Some of you have already lost your kids. You grew up in the church. You were passionate about God. And you waned. And now your children don't serve God because they didn't see you serve God. They skip church as much as they can because you skip church as much as you can. I heard a voice from on high. This is where we make a difference. And being a generational church is when we make a decision. In this house, we will serve the Lord. In this house, we're not going to just serve God. We're going to run wholeheartedly towards God. In this house, we believe in the supernatural. In this house, we're not going to compromise. Can I hear an amen? I didn't say we were perfect.
But I thank God that the blood of Jesus washes away every single stain. I thank God that I can get up and run the next length. I thank God that my sins in my life do not have to affect my generations in the future. I thank God that the anointing that I have, my kids will be able to go to the next level because I'm going to bring them to another platform. I thank God that my kids are not going to be in bondage because I refuse to drink. I refuse to smoke. I refuse to be controlled by anything other than Jesus Christ. You got to make decisions in your life. Some of you, man, you know you're supposed to stop smoking a long time ago. Listen, smoking won't send you to hell. You just smell like it. But here's the problem. If you think your kids aren't going to grab a jewel because you're smoking cigarettes, you're crazy. I walked out of Verizon the other day. And I smelled cotton candy. Man, I stopped because I love candy. I'm looking around. We've got cotton candy. And there's this big old burly dude blowing a jewel. Man, if I was a kid, I'd have smoked that. I don't know if it tastes like it. Don't tell me. That means you know. But if you want your kids to smoke, you smoke. You want your kids to smoke weed, you smoke weed. Oh, I know you smoke weed. I do it for medicinal purposes. Bull crap. If you really think it's medicinal, take the pill. Your kids are going to smoke weed just like you smoke. Your kids are going to drink just like you drink. You can say whatever you want, but it always starts with a glass of wine for the kids. Come on. They're going to watch what you watch. Somebody once said to me, you should only turn on television what you want your daughter to become. Because what you're letting in through the television, that spirit will get your kid upstairs. Ooh, oh, Jesus. We got to make decisions. And I'm praying for you. My wife is praying for you. This team is praying for you because I believe God's called you to be a generational church. I believe God called you to have 5 generations in this church. I decree in the name of Jesus. Come on now. I believe it. We've got 4 generations right now in this house. 4 generations. My mom, me, my son, and my grandchildren. We got 4 generations right now in this church that are loving God. That's not by accident. It's because I made a decision that I will be a generational parent. I'll be a generational man of God. I'll be a generational pastor, and I refuse to allow the enemy of my soul to have the generations of my family. We will serve God all the way. Can I hear an amen? And that's your choice. You got to battle for your kids sometimes. You got to fight that good fight of faith. You got to bind that devil who's trying to take your babies. But man, if you're not a generational person, well, it's just something they're going through. It's a phase. Oh, it ain't a phase. It's a devil trying to kill them. Because if you can kill the vision, you've already killed the person, even though they're still alive. It's time to be a generational person. This morning we want to do something we don't do often, and I've not given myself a lot of time. But we're going to pray for every one of you. Now, what we do when we do this is we have people come along this wall and we lay hands on you as you go through. But I want you to realize what that means. That when I lay my hands on you, when the staff lays their hands on you, there's an impartation. There's a release in the spirit. There's a conference. And what you come believing for, you walk away with. Some of you are sick. You need healing in your body. Amen. When we lay hands on you, I believe God's going to heal your body. Some of you need healing in your mind. Amen? God can heal your mind. Some of you need healing in your family. God can restore your family. Can I hear an amen? God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But if you never put your faith towards it, don't worry about it. You won't have it. For God is not moved by your need. God is not moved by your hope. God is moved by faith. This morning, if you could bow your heads with me, I'm not going to be long.
If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like him in your life. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I'm asking you to know Jesus, who washes every sin away and makes you a child of the King. Today, if you would like to start your generational journey to bring your family all the way with God, I'd like you to raise your hand. I want to be saved. If that's you this morning, I want Jesus to wash my sins away. Is there anyone here this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, come on, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm sorry. Where there was a hand, very good. Mindy, if you come on up here. If you raise your hand for salvation, as everybody is getting ready to line up and get ministered to in the Spirit, if you raise your hand for salvation or didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want to give your heart to the Lord, I'd like you to come right out and meet Mindy right here. Everybody else, if you'd like to get ministered to, make your way on over this side. If I could have the usher team and the staff all meet me up front real quickly. We don't have a lot of time. If you'd like to get prayer, just meet right over the other side. I need oil. Ushers, we need you halfway down through. If you're watching online right now, if you reach your hand right out while they're lining up, you watch me right now, put your hand on the television right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I release the power of God right through this television, right through this computer right now. I declare, God, that they're going to receive impartation, Lord, of passion for your kingdom. Lord, they will receive healing, deliverance in Jesus' name. Wherever they are, whatever you're doing, God, I declare wholeness. Lord, and that, Lord, they will be a generational believer for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a breaking in my favor. There's a shifting in my direction. There's a breaking in my favor as I pray. There's a breaking in my favor. There's a shifting in my direction. There's a breaking in my favor as I pray. There's a breaking in my favor. There's a shifting in my direction. There's a breaking in my favor as I pray. There's a breaking in my favor. There's a shifting in my direction. There's a breaking in my favor as I pray.
There's a breaking in my
favor as I pray. Hallelujah, the generational curses are broken. Thank you, Father God.
There's a breaking.
Hallelujah, I feel and I hear the chains falling.
In my favor.
It's in my favor, God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's a shifting.
Lord, you're shifting my direction.
Hey. In my direction.
Yes, God. Thank you, Father.
There's a breaking in my favor.
In my favor, Lord.
In my favor.
Lord, there's a shifting. You're changing so many lives.
There's a shifting.
It's in my direction. The rest of my life, Lord.
In my direction.
Hallelujah. I said there's a breaking.
In my favor, as I pray.
Hallelujah. Say there's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
And it's in my favor, God.
In my favor. There's a shifting.
My direction, Lord.
In my direction.
Hallelujah. There's a breaking, Lord, I feel.
There's a breaking. In my favor.
And it's in my favor, shifting, oh God.
There's a shifting
in my direction. Hallelujah. Change my plans
in my direction.
Hallelujah. The walls are crashing down. I feel
there's a breaking.
There's a breaking
in my favor.
It's in my favor. I feel it, Lord, everything is broken off of me.
In my favor.
And it's all for me. You gave me victory. You healed my
There's
body, Lord.
A shifting.
I feel a shifting. Oh, oh.
In my direction.
And there's a breaking goal. It's all for
in
me
my favor,
as I pray. There's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
Yeah.
In my favor. In my direction, there's a breaking in my favor as I pray.
Come on and lift your voice.
There's a breaking.
Lord, I accept and receive.
In my favor.
Hallelujah. And there's a shifting.
There's a shifting.
And it's in my direction. But it's for my whole life, yeah.
In my direction.
Hallelujah. And there is
a breaking in my favor,
Lord,
as I praise.
Hallelujah. Sit there. Trust in you, Father.
And there's a breaking in my favor as I pray.
I want to say there's a break.
There's a breaking.
And it's in my favor. And it's in my direction.
In my direction.
There's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
Yeah.
In my favor. As I praise.
Hallelujah.
There's a.
And there's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
And it's in my favor.
In my favor.
Hallelujah, Lord.
There's a shifting.
It's in my direction, Father God.
In my direction.
There's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
And it's in my favor, God.
My favor.
Yes.
As I pray.
As I pray. There's a breaking.
There's a breaking.
Oh, Lord, it's in my favor. Hallelujah. In my direction, God.
In my direction.
Yes, there is. Hallelujah.
There's a breaking in my favor. see.